here, so I can tell on you. No, I'm not. No, this weekend has been a rough week for a lot of people. I remember Sunday, I was in here talking about attitude on Sunday, and as I walked out the door, the Lord said, get ready, it's going to be tested. And as I walked out, I said, okay, I'm ready. And then he spoke again and said, no, it's not just you. I said, well, Lord, let us be ready. And then he spoke again and said, no, you're going to help somebody through. And I said, okay, then let all of us be ready. And then all week went around. The first couple of days was pretty cool. And then Friday hit. And I said, well, Lord, nothing really happened. I'm pretty cool with this. I can handle this one. That's all right. Have you ever told the Lord I can handle this? Yeah, okay, so Friday, I get a call out of clear blue sky with a suicide. And so, y'all don't know the people, but still I do, and it affects some of my people, and so I get a call with suicide. Well, I'm trying to figure out how to help this person with the suicide, and their cell phone doesn't work. So their cell phone's going in and out. They're thinking I'm hanging up on them or they're thinking something's going wrong. And so they just don't answer the phone when it does ring. They finally get it straight. And about time we get it straight, my wife has another attack of fibromyalgia. And so she's laid up and she goes, I'm really hurting really bad. I don't even feel like moving my eyelashes. So Saturday I go along and as I'm getting ready for this morning, we did Senior Saints. And the Lord spoke to me on Senior Saints, says, talk to him about attitude. I said, all right. And as I talked to him about attitude, the Lord says, I want you to talk to the people about the same thing. I said, well, Lord, I've already got a sermon ready. I said, I got a computer set and everything. So I'm in there working on a computer, and the computer goes down and says, no, you don't. I kid you not. Do you see the computer? So Linda works on it for 4 hours last night and gets it up just enough so I can get out the funeral that we have today. And on the way from trying to work on the funeral for today, I find out I got a funeral Saturday. And then, you just name it, things just started accumulating. And yesterday I spent 5 hours with four people trying to minister with the suicide. And so by the time last night was ready to lay down, I think I laid down and crashed. And I said, Lord, you weren't kidding when you said, get ready. It reminds me of the guy that gets up and says, dear God, so far today, I've done everything all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been grumpy. I haven't been nasty. I haven't been selfish. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed, and that's when I'm going to need a lot of help. So I'm going to talk to you some stuff that maybe the senior saints will remember from Friday, but it's going to still be the same but different. Amen. It's like Larry the Cable Guy said, his girlfriend looked just like Cindy Crawford, but she didn't have the mole, and she didn't have the hair like she had, she didn't have the face like she had, and she didn't have the body like she had, and she actually didn't even have the smile like she had, but she was just like her. Matter of fact, he said his girlfriend had a mole on her cheek, and he said he loved it. He said, it looks like Cindy Crawford. He found out it wasn't a mole, it was a tick. Amen. Okay. So here we are. We're going to talk about attitudes. Amen. How many's ever heard the grass is greener on the other side? How many's ever thought that? Usually it's because it's over the septic tank, and usually it means it usually means you need to water yours. Amen. So here we go. We're going to talk about attitudes. Now, attitudes. Again, I'm sitting down. I'm just going to chill. We're just going to talk. This is just a fireside talk. They had the fireside talks all over. All the politicians are doing it. There's a big thing, so we're going to do it, because if they can do it, we know we can, because we're not talking about politics. We're talking about God. Amen? And God is awesome all the time. Now, I will tell you this. Once I heard of a farmer who had a very complaining wife, and from morning till night, she would complain about something or other. Only time he ever got relief was when he went to the farm with his donkey. One day he was plowing and his wife brought him lunch, and he put the donkey under the shade tree and began to have his lunch, and immediately she began complaining. And all of a sudden, the donkey lashed out with both hind feet, kicked her, and killed her dead as a doornail right on the spot. At the funeral, the pastor noticed something odd. When women came up, the farmer would listen for a minute and he would nod his head in agreement. And then the men would approach him and he would listen for a minute and he would shake his head in disagreement. This was so consistent that the pastor decided to ask him, why is it that when the women come up and say something, you do like this? And when the men come up, you do like this? He said, well, that's pretty simple. He said, when women come up, they say nice things about my wife, about how good a cook she was, how good she was with the children, and so on and so on. And I would nod my head yes in agreement. He said, what about the men? He said, well, the men knew that donkey had killed my wife, and they all wanted to know if the donkey was for sale. Okay, here we go. We're going to talk about attitudes. I thought I would get you pipe primed. I will X that one out. Next time we'll say that the complaining husband. Okay, wives, okay. Next time you're here, it'll be the husband got kicked in the head. The only problem is, if you'll kick a husband in the head, it won't take him out. See, so then I kind of redeem myself then. Amen. There's three factors. Let me read the scripture to you. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23 and 7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I want to come back to that in a minute. I'll just think for a minute. The day that we live in, I have seen some of the wildest things. I can't believe some of the things we have to fight every day to our life. I can't believe some of the stuff we're having to confront that we never, my granddaddy never had to confront it. His granddaddy never really didn't have to confront it. There's just so many things that we're forced to deal with that we never thought we'd have to. And when it happens, Satan plays mind games with us. He talks to us and tells us that we're no good, we're nobody, nobody likes us. If we were living right, we wouldn't be having these problems. And he wears us down, and he affects very highly our attitude. Because he knows if he can affect our attitude, he can affect every part of our life. Because your attitude is entwined with everything you do. Next to knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior, the most awesome thing you need to know is that God wants us to have a good attitude. Look at somebody and say, so there. God wants us to have a good attitude. I told you last week, attitude is actually an inward feeling expressed by your outward behavior. In other words, it's the inside being turned on the outside. People can tell me, I remember, how many ever dated the girl or the boy that everybody thought was just the hottest boy or the hottest girl in school, and after you went to date them, you realized that you didn't need them. Because although they looked hot on the outside, they were mean on the inside. Amen. Y'all, okay, I did it. I don't know about the rest of you. And I found out that usually when you're trying to date somebody, or somebody's trying to set you up with a blind date, and they tell you, well, she's got a good attitude. First you think, well, she got to be ugly. But you know what? I found out when somebody says, but they got a good attitude, that usually means that's the one you want to go for. Because looks aren't everything. Look at somebody and say, look, what is it? How's it go? Beauty is only skin deep, but an ugly's to the bone. When beauty's dead and gone, ugly holds its own. Okay, so you can tell a person how they are without them ever saying a word. Do you know your attitude arrives before you do? There's a lot of people, when I see you coming, I can tell you, I automatically tell, and part of it's a gift of discernment that God gives pastors. I know that, but even then, there's people can walk up, and when you see that person, you will automatically begin to think, that person's had a bad day, that person's had a bad night, that person is really having a hard time. Maybe I need to help that person, or maybe I need to stay away from that person. You ever been in Walmart, and somebody come walking to you, and you see that look on their face, and next thing you know, you're hiding in the sweet peas? You see, your attitude can be seen without you ever opening your mouth. There's something called the attitude quotient. You know, we have something called IQ, which is the intelligence quotient. How many here have heard of IQ? How many here's got one? I hope everybody's got one. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what? There's something called the attitude quotient, the AQ. And no matter how good your IQ is, if you have a terrible AQ, nobody really cares. You know, matter of fact, if you've got a bad AQ and you come up with a great IQ, people really don't want to care. They don't want to hear it. I mean, it's like you've heard it said, I don't care how much you know till I know how much you care. And if somebody comes with a bad attitude, next thing you know, what they've turned into is they've just turned into a know-it-all, and you actually, it grinds you when they get around you. But if somebody's got a good attitude, then they're a go-to person. The difference in our lives and in our circumstances, the attitude quotient has nothing or little to do. Let me say little. Our attitude quotient has little to do with our attitude and a lot to do with our circumstances and a lot to do with our attitude. Your attitude quotient has little to do with your circumstances. It's got a lot to do with your attitude. I'm going to tell you three things, three facts about attitude. I'm not going to keep you long. Some of you said I've already kept it long enough, but that's okay. Just your attitude. Amen. Three things about your attitude. I want you to think about this. Number one, your attitude reveals the real you. He says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As I think about myself, if I think I'm nothing, I'm no good, I cannot learn, I will not learn. If I think nobody likes me, it automatically puts out an aura, and people look at me and say, I don't even know if I want to be around that person. I'm not sure, but they look like they don't want to be around me. And honestly, why they're thinking nobody likes me, it's not that people don't like you, it's just that they don't know how to handle you because your attitude is showing. The Bible says in order to have friends, show yourself friendly. Amen? So your attitude reveals the real you. And honestly, your attitude, what you think about yourself, can cause you to have low self-worth. It can have you to have reverse self-worth, which is actually you walk around thinking you big and bad to the bone, actually trying to hide your low self-worth. Or it can cause you to be depressed. It can cause you to think things that aren't there, think things that people are thinking that they are not thinking. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you think, hey, I'm anointed and I'm appointed by God, me and God together can handle this, guess what? You can handle it. I'm a child of the Almighty God. He loves me so much that He died for me, and I will not let the devil tell me I'm a nothing and I'm a nobody and that nobody likes me. Amen? I'm not going to let the devil win. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So number one, your attitude reveals the real you. Also, number two, your attitude determines your success and failure in every relationship. Every. Somebody say every. Every relationship. I know this thing's a little high. I like it if I can stand up, but I can't adjust it. So my seat's low. I spent a long time since I had to settle something to see over something. Amen. Our attitude determines every success and failure in every relationship. You know, a farmer went to his banker, and he announced to his banker he had good news and bad news. First, he said the bad news. Well, said the farmer, I can't make my mortgage payments. And the crop loan that I've taken out for the past 10 years, I can't pay that off either. Not only that, but I won't be able to pay you the couple of $100,000 I still have outstanding on my tractors and other equipment. So I'm going to have to give up the farm and turn it all over to you for whatever you can salvage out of it. Then silence prevailed for a moment. And the banker looked at the farmer and said, what's the good news? He said, the good news is I've decided to keep on banking with you. Your attitude determines your success and failure of every relationship. Number three, and this is the hardest one for all of us to learn. I had to learn it strongly, and I had to use it strongly this whole week. Your attitude is always, somebody say always. Your attitude is always a choice. It's a choice. Do you know that nobody can take your attitude? Nobody can change your attitude. If I was to be funny and say, how many here has a good attitude? Y'all raise your hand. I go, how many here's got a bad attitude? And y'all raise your hand. So who's sitting next to the person causing it? You go. But you know the truth? You're letting them rob your attitude. Because your attitude is always a choice. Psalm 118 and 24 says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad." And the word "will" means a determined choice, meaning I may have woke up feeling bad, but I'm still going to rejoice because God made this day. I may have to go up and I may have to go to work and do a job I don't really want to do that day. But I will rejoice because God is a determined choice. God has made that day and He knew what was going to be there and He's already provided me strength. And I'm going to do it. I will rejoice. I may look in the mirror and not like who I see. Some of y'all laughing. Some of y'all have had the same problem before, haven't you? Look in the mirror and I say, I will rejoice. I've even looked at myself in the mirror and say, okay, David, practice what you preach. Today, you will rejoice because God made this day. Amen. So now, here we go. Get ready. This is good stuff, isn't it? Y'all with that good attitude said yes. They with the bad attitude just sit there. I'm just playing. I'm just going to see what y'all thinking. Did you know you cannot choose what will happen to you today because it's beyond your control? How many of this last week got up one more and said, this is exactly what I'm going to do, and you got up and before the day was over with, you did absolutely nothing that you had planned to do. When I was working at Procter & Gamble in engineering, we had a list, and every day we'd get together with our list, and we would look at it, and I'd put down anywhere from 3 to 10 things that had to be done that day. And I'd carry them over the next day. We had something called day timers. Now we got computers. Now we got smartphones. Back then we had a day timer. And you wrote in your day timer and picked off the little corner off the side. And you flip the paper and you'd write it again. And so whatever we would do, I would know I'd put the X by the things I really needed to get done. I'd put a circle by things that had to be done. I'd put 3 to 10 items. And by the next day, I would carry over what had not been done. And many days, I carried all 10 items plus. Because things didn't work out the way I thought they were going to work out. So how many of you this week, you got up one morning and you said, this is what I'm going to do today. I've got it all figured out. And by the time you laid your head down, you were confused and you were tired because nothing happened the way you thought it was. Amen. Amen. Well, guess what? You cannot choose what happens to you because it's beyond your control. But you can choose your attitude. And we have the power. I don't have the power to choose what happens, but I have the power to choose how I respond. Amen? Amen. Amen. So watch this. I'm going to give you some steps that help you change your outlook, your attitude, help you have a positive outlook when things aren't even going your way. It's going to help. I promise this will help. If it don't help, we'll give you a refund your ticket at the door. Step number one, start speaking positive, good things in your life. Learn how to speak positive. I'm not talking about some hyper-duper super thing. I'm not talking about someone that's messed some of these guys got on TV. They're trying to get you to have that positive attitude. If you had that, nothing will go wrong. No. I'm talking about learn how to create an atmosphere to which you live by the words you speak. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So if you're always speaking death, if you're always speaking doubt, if you're always speaking down, if you're always talking about nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I think I'll eat some worms for breakfast. There'll be a big plate of worms for you. If you think today's going to be a sorry day, there's nothing going to have anything happen to me for praise God about, it's going to be the worst day I've ever had, guess what? The Bible says you're going to eat the fruit of it. So I'm not talking about some super duper whopper whooper thing. I'm talking about what God says in His Word. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I noticed my kids. When I would get mad, I would just talk junk to them. Because they stepped on my last nerve, pulled it up, and stepped on it too.
When they had done that, I found out if I just got mad and stomped off or got mad and told them this, that, you know, and it just lost it, which I admit I've done it once or twice, haven't I, DC? At least once. This is Saint David up here. What happens is that kid, the ridicule will eat them up. I even found out when I started giving it. You know, I decided when they were getting their report cards, I said, I'll give you a quarter for every B, a quarter for every C, 50 cents for every B, and a dollar for every A. And they went, all right, Dad. And they come up and get their dollar and their quarter and their 50 cents. And they go, don't pay attention to all those D's and F's. And I said, I got a better one. I'm going to give you a quarter for every C, 50 cents for every B, a dollar for every A, and for every D, I'm going to take away 50 cents. For every F, I'm going to take away a dollar. And I said, now it's your choice, not mine. Matter of fact, it made my pocket heavier. Amen. Start speaking words positive. Quit walking around talking about how bad everything is. Yes, things are bad. We know it. I know how bad things are. I've had some bad things happen to me lately. Have you? I've had some awful things happen. And I'm not saying, so get ready, because I'm going to talk about that just in case you're thinking, wait a minute, what's he talking about? Everything's hunky-dory, walk around on the cloud, playing our harp. That's not what I'm talking about. Matter of fact, I can tell you, I don't feel like, half the time, I don't feel like playing my harp. I like what Daniel said, Dad, get me to play your bass. I got up there, and all of a sudden, I realized my nose was running. And it's kind of hard to play the bass while you're doing this. Anybody ever tried to play the bass with snot on your fingers? You think that's funny, but you know what? Some of us are trying to play our life bass with snot on our fingers. Ugh, that's good stuff. Amen. Okay, so look. Step number one, learn to start speaking positive. Start speaking. You know, like I remember one time I was telling Friday, Linda told me one day something was going on, and I said, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. She says, yes, it will. I said, it's not going to work. She said, you are the most positive person I know. And she said, here you are saying it's not going to work. Can you please be more positive? I said, yes, dear. Okay. I'm positive it's not going to work. Matter of fact, I heard a thing this morning that says, at first you don't succeed, try doing it the way your wife told you to. Step number two. I'm hearing that one. Step number two. Step number one, learn how to speak faith. Faith. Speak some faith. Quit speaking doubt. You say, well, that can't be. Well, I'll tell you what, if you walk around speaking doubt and destruction and doom, you are getting doubt, destruction, and doom. It's not my word, it's God's. God said, if that's all you're going to talk about, that's all you're planting, then that's what you're going to reap. But if you start planting some positive words, planting faith, then faith is going to come back. So step number two, and I'm almost through. Give or take a week or two. No. I know some of y'all looking at me like I've lost my mind. Yeah, DC had a friend one time. I was trying to tell him to be more positive. He told me he was praying for a bicycle and praying for a bicycle and praying for a bicycle. And I said, well, just keep on. You got to be positive. So he kept praying for a bicycle. And he realized God weren't working fast enough, so he stole the bicycle and prayed for forgiveness. Yeah. Here we go. Step number two, look for the good in every situation. A positive outlook, a positive faith does not refuse to recognize the negative. There's a lot of negatives in my life. How many's got negatives in your life? Do not point at anybody beside you or in front of you. How many's got negatives? A positive outlook does not refuse to recognize the negative, but it refuses to dwell on it. Just because it's there does not mean you got to dwell on it. And all of a sudden, here you go, you're getting that negative attitude again. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. So watch. You can learn more from negative events in your life than you usually can from the good. I've learned more from the tough times than I have from the easy times. I've got stronger in God from the tough times. My faith has grown in the tough times. In the valley, I found out He actually does restore my soul. Amen? I found on the mountaintop, it's a good way to look down, but you know what? On the mountaintop, when the rain comes, the good soil flushes down to the valley. So there's really good soil in that valley if you can get down to it. There was a man, he couldn't paint, so he decided he couldn't paint himself, but he wanted to help somebody go through art school. So he said he had a contest put in the paper, and he said, whoever can draw me, and he couldn't have any peace about it until he did this. He says, whoever can draw me the best picture is going to get a free 4-year scholarship to any art school you pick. So he goes through and he starts looking through, and he looks at one, and he sees this a valley. And in this valley, he looks and he sees the valley, and there's storms blowing everywhere, and it's just terrible. The trees are bent over, and he said, that was a storm in the valley. And he looked up at the other one, and there was a mountaintop, and in the mountaintop, it was just everything was pretty. And he said, oh, that looks pretty good. What's that one called? It says it's called Peace on the Mountaintop. We both lived at both areas. And then he comes up to another guy and he sees a terrible storm in the valley. He sees a terrible storm on the mountaintop. He sees a storm everywhere. He sees all this stuff going by. It's like a hurricane's going through. And then that guy says, wow. He says, what in the world? This other guy's got peace on the mountaintop and this other's got peace in the valley. And here you are, you got this one. I don't understand. Why would I want to pick this one out of all things? He said, well, look in the cleft of the rock. So he got down and looked in the cleft of the rock, and there was a little mama bird feeding her baby birds, unaffected by the storm. He said, wait a minute. I got storm in the valley. Storm in the valley. I got peace on the mountain. He says, but what's this one called? He said, that one's called Peace in the Midst of the Storm. Do you want peace in your storm? God's already provided it. Where's it at, God? I've been looking for it. I looked for it all day. Sure. Let me tell you a little something here. Listen. I found out, first off, just quickly, I want to tell you some things before I tell you about looking for it. I found out that difficulty is a great teacher. Do you know every invention we've had was the inventions that were really changed the world were because of difficulties? People were trying to overcome difficulties and they come up with these great inventions that we don't have the difficulty with now. How many had to hook up your horse and buggy this morning? How many had to walk here 25 miles? How many had to hook up a horse and buggy and drive 25 miles? How many? We all had cars. We rode here. Unless you had a Ford, you didn't have any problem getting here. I'm just checking attitudes. I'm looking. Here's what I want. No, Fords are good too. There's two ways you can look at it. Here's the good way. The bad way to look at it is found on the road dead. The good way to look at it is first on race day. Did I help myself out there, Brandon? Was that better, first on race day? Okay, so let's see this. No situation, no person, no place or thing is all bad or all good. Listen to what I just said. There's not a person, place, or thing that you know of that's all bad. There's not a person, place, or thing you know of that's all good. Every situation brings opportunity to choose, to learn, to practice, to grow, to give in, give up, and lose. Let me tell you something about developing that habit of looking for the best in conditions. This here is the hardest thing to remember, but if you can remember this, this will be worth it all. It'll be worth that ticket. Ready? A person sees, number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. There's a pen in front of you. Write it in your Bible. You need to look at this under Proverbs 23:7. A person, number one, sees what they're prepared to see. That's knowledge. A person sees what they're prepared to see. We had a hurricane hit our church. I told about it Friday. A tornado came whipping through and whipped through and it tore up our basketball goal. It tore up. It picked up a tree and set it on top of the church. It went across the street and tore up the whole place across the street. We were safe in the peace. We had the peace in the storm, in the midst of the storm. Well, I went up to check everything, and to me, everything looked fine in the roof. I had a contractor come and said, we can't have church in here. I said, well, it looks fine to me. And he had a structural engineer come in and said, no, we can't. This is bad and this is bad. I said, that stuff's old. He said, no, that's not old. Look at here. Look at here. Look at here. You see, they saw what they were prepared to see. I wasn't. Some of y'all right now are going through things and thinking there's no way out because you're not prepared. And God wants you to get prepared to see there is a way out. There is things that can happen, good stuff. So first, you see what you're prepared to see, knowledge. Secondly, you see what you're looking for, focus. If you're looking for bad, if you're looking for somebody to hit you, if you're looking for to wreck your car, if you're looking to tear things up, if you're looking for everything to go terrible in your life, guess what? You get it. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say it. I didn't make it up. The Bible says it. But if you're looking for God to do something great in your life and you're thanking God for the blessings and you're thanking God for the miracles and you're thanking God for favor and you're thanking God for what He does, that's what you're going to get in your life. I don't do it. Your mate doesn't do it. Your children doesn't do it. You do it. It's your decision. You see what you're prepared to see. You see what you're looking for. If you leave out of here and you look over at your mate and say, I know good and well, just as soon as we got out of here, you would do that. Guess what? That's what you were looking for. You walk out and say, you know what? I might have been wrong yesterday. Matter of fact, I probably was wrong. Please forgive me. Guess what? Your mate might not have been looking for it, but he'll thank you or she'll thank you. You see what you're prepared to see, what you're looking for. Both require our eyes to have proper faith. Remember, giants dwelt in the land of flow of milk and honey. It's a matter of choosing. What you focus on determines the difference between breakthrough and breakdown. What you focus on. The place of problem can also be the place of possibility. I'm almost through. Somebody say, praise God. Praise God. All right. Number six. I didn't have to say it so loud. Y'all could at least said it regretfully, like, praise God. Oh, now come on, preacher, keep on coming. All right, number six. Christ never promised no more problems. Christ never promised no more pain, not in this lifetime. But He did promise His presence through it all. He never promised you wouldn't hurt. He never promised there wouldn't be things happen that would absolutely take your breath away, would devastate you. He never promised that stuff wouldn't happen. It happens. He never promised that you wouldn't find yourself in an unfaithful relationship and then find out that you found yourself backsliding from God. He never promised that stuff wouldn't happen because some of that stuff you have no control over. Some of it you do have control over, but you don't realize which one's which and you just let it tear you to pieces. The Bible says in Ezekiel 48:35, His name is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. He's with you everywhere. He's there. In Isaiah 61:3, it says, He's to appoint for them that mourn in Zion to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joyful mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, beauty for ashes. What does that mean, beauty for ashes? Back in that day when somebody was mourning, they would actually sit down and they would put ashes on their head to mourn. Job did it. A lot of us right now, if you shook your head, your neighbor would get ashes in their lap. Beauty was actually a headdress, a beautiful flowered headdress. It was for celebrating. And so what the scripture is saying is God's going to take that ashes off your head that you're mourning about and going to give you in exchange that celebration, something to smile about. The oil of joy for mourning. Mourning is actually mourning is more than just it's depression. Not just depression, but it's also an attitude. And the oil of joy is the oil of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost upon you brings you joy even in your worst times. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You see, you got a choice. You have a big choice. Positive thinking or powerful, I'm calling it power thinking. I'm not calling it positive thinking. I'm calling it power thinking. Because you see, positive thinking, the world teaches us, is powered by self. But power thinking is powered by acknowledgement of God's Word. I want power thinking in my life. Power thinking, not positive, power thinking. You know, there was this monk. He joined a monastery and took a vow of silence.
I would never want to be in that monastery. I would explode the first day. So this monk joined a monastery and took a vow of silence. And every 10 years, he was allowed to speak two words. Y'all hear that? Every 10 years, he got a chance to speak two words. That's it. So his superior called him after he'd been there 10 years, said, "Do you have anything to say?" And the monk replied, "Food bad." Another 10 years went by, he hadn't said anything, and he had an opportunity to speak before his superior, and the superior said, "Voice your thoughts," and his next two words was, "Bed hard." Food bad the first 10 years, bed hard the second 10 years. Another 10 years went by, and the superior called him up and said, asked him if he had anything to say, and he said, "I quit." The superior says, "It doesn't surprise me at all. All you've done since you've been here is complain anyway." The more I think about it, the funnier that gets. Six words, and he's a complainer. All right. Some of us could tear him up in the first 6 seconds. All right. I can choose. Y'all come up and get ready to play something. Matter of fact, play something power, thinking, positive, faithful to God. I can choose to dwell on the bad. I can choose to dwell on the pain. Or I can choose to focus on the good. There's a difference in dwelling and focusing. I can dwell on it, or I can focus on the good. When I go work out, I don't focus on how bad it was. I focus on the good that I feel afterwards. Even if I feel soreness the next day, I don't focus on the soreness. Because I remember, if you don't feel sore, you didn't work out. Anybody works out, I'll tell you that. If you don't feel sore, except for Doug, he's Superman. Everybody ever talk about, Doug, they say they call him the hammer for a reason. But skinny folks like me. Skinny folks, workout, it hurts, but you know what? That hurts good. It's a good pain. I found out it's a good pain. It's a very good pain. It's an awesome pain. You have a choice today. Your choice is, what you going to dwell on? Yeah, we've all got bad. We've all had hard times. We've all had hard things come our way. Every last one of us have had some bad times. Matter of fact, how many here has ever been misunderstood? How many here has ever had something terrible happen to them? How many in here sometimes wonder if God's even watching? See, we're all in the same boat. Remember what I told you last week about the pessimistic child and the optimistic child. They took a room. This is an honest psychological fact, truth. They took a room. For those that weren't here, you'll hear it for the first time. For those that weren't here, was here, you'll hear it again. But maybe it'll sink in this time. Ready? They took a room and they put straw and manure in the room. They took the pessimistic kid and just stuck him in there. And he stood up against the wall and he said, "I ain't touching that mess." And he walked out, discouraged. They took an optimistic kid and stuck him in the same room. And he started climbing through that stuff. It was all over and everywhere, straw, manure everywhere. And they said, "What's going on?" He said, "I know there's a pony in here somewhere." Is how you look at stuff. I see family members, all of them going through the same thing. Some family members flourish, some family members fall all to pieces. It's all in how you look at it. My mama and my aunt, when my grandmama died, My mama looked at it as my grandmama finally had some peace from being so sick, and that my grandmama was in the hands of God, and that he was going to help my mama get through this. And my mama praised the Lord the whole time. My aunt didn't see it that way. And she wound up taking all kinds of drugs to get through it. I don't think she even remembered the funeral. She didn't see it that God had taken my grandmama to a better place, and that he would help her get through it. It's all in how you see it. It's all in how you look, what you're prepared to see. Everybody stand. Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. If I'm talking to you today, I'm here talking and you're listening and you're here and you're saying, number one, I don't know Jesus. I don't know him as my personal Savior. It's hard for me to look through the lens of God if I don't have God in my life. It's hard for me to look through the lens of faith if I don't have faith dwelling and rising up in me. If I'm speaking to you today, you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior. While nobody's looking around, by everybody's eyes are closed, would you put that hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I don't know Jesus, but I need to. I need Jesus in my heart. I need Jesus. Touch him right now, Lord. Touch him. Minister to him right now in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're here right now, and in the middle of all, hold on, let me just stop for a second. Let me just stop. I want us all to pray this prayer together right now. We're going to take care of two birds with one stone. You may be here this morning and you're not where you would like to be with God. Something's happened. You didn't see it the right way. You looked the wrong way and your faith has been damaged. And you're living a life of damaged faith and you're looking through cracked lens and you don't see things right. You don't see what God is trying to show you. If I'm speaking to you today and speaking to the ones that want Jesus in their heart, we're all going to say this together right now. Everybody repeat after me, and then we're going to finish this altar call. Everybody repeat after me. Lord, I need you in my life. I need you to calm the storm and help me see through lens of faith. I confess my sin right now. I confess my need for you right now. I need you to save me. I need you to help me draw close. I need you to help me be where I used to be. In you. Right now in the name of Jesus. I confess with my mouth. I believe with my heart. And I thank you, God, for a fresh start. Right quick, class, I want you to give God a hand clap of praise. Now, let's go back to where we were. If you need Jesus to do something special in your heart and life, right now, the altars are open. I want you to come. Don't worry about everybody around you. It doesn't matter. Remember, they don't decide your fate. They don't decide what you see. You decide how you see things. Do you see them through the eyes of faith or do you see them through the eyes of doubt? You have a need from God. I invite you right now to come up here. This altar should fill up. God, I need you. God, I want you. God, I've got to have you. God, you got to show me how I need to live. God, you got to help me get my attitude on right. God, you got to help me get my stuff together. God, you got to help me get back where I was with you. God, I need you more than ever. Thank you, Father. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for all you do for us, God. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you, Lord, for new life. I thank you, God, for all the things you do for us, God. I help thank you, Lord, for touching us and touching our attitudes, Lord. Helping us, God, see through the lens of faith, not through the lens of doubt. Helping us, God, not to speak negative constantly, but learn to speak positive. Power words, power words, power words in the name of Jesus. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. Lord, I thank you for the difference you make in our lives. Thank you, Lord. You're an awesome, awesome, awesome God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, touch the Emmaus ladies this weekend. Lord, help them, God, to see you in a different way. Help these Emmaus ladies to have an attitude change and a check. Help them, Lord, to understand what you're going to do for them, Lord. And God, those that have been to Emmaus, help us, Lord, not to forget what we learned while we were there. Father, in the name of Jesus, you're an awesome God, a powerful God. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We are more than able to take care of business, whatever comes our way. I am not a loser. I am a winner. Praise the Lamb of God. God, you didn't die for junk. You died for us. I thank you, Lord. We're alive and well because of you. I thank you, God. Lord, I'm not going to walk around in misunderstanding anymore. I'm going to see through eyes of faith. I'm going to see what you got for us, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Somebody give God some praise in here. Oh, come on. You can do better. Give Him some praise. I want to make sure you understand that somebody was in here and you did raise your hand to be saved. When you said that prayer, immediately, you were immediately saved. Amen. If you needed God to restore you, you were immediately restored. Now walk in it. Praise the Lamb of God. Walk in it. God's got you back. He's got you. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. God's awesome. All the time, God is awesome. Now tonight, we've got a funeral here. And it's Sister Kathleen's grandson. And it would be a great show to Sister Kathleen. That's why, this is another reason why we canceled service for tonight. It would be a great show to Sister Kathleen if we would make it to this funeral for her grandson. It's visitations at 2, the service is at 3, but the interment's going to be around 4 in Aurora. So, again, if you can find a way to put it in there, at least come by and speak to her, but if you can be here, and let her know that you love her. She's told you enough, hasn't she? She showed you enough, hasn't she? Let's show her some love. Amen. Let's look through the lens of faith. You say, well, I got little things I could be doing this afternoon. Yeah, you could, but it could be your youngin' up here. It could be your grandchild up here. It could be you. So I think I can take out a few hours and acknowledge. Amen. Amen. Remember, this week I challenge you. Whenever you feel these negative thoughts come through your mind, remember, not positive thoughts, power thoughts. Power thoughts. Power thoughts. And watch what God can do if we'll use those power thoughts. Amen. Isn't God awesome? All the time. Brother Doug, will you dismiss us in prayer, please, my brother?
That we would honor and glorify your name, that you would be with us throughout this week. That we would let others see you inside of us, and that you would use us to help change lives for the glory of your kingdom. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.